Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every week to discuss, spend time in the evening questions. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are.
Good morning.
Continuing our series on Christ clutter in the calendar. We're now, this will be aired on the 29th of July, which will be a Monday. And we're headed toward finalization of this kind of study that we've started at the end of May and June and July, and we'll be
very fun. Timely study, though, it I is. Think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Kathy and I will be praying about what topic that we want to head next. If it'll be fun to do. We've been processing, this issue, and you say the word timely. Tell me why you understand that so much, that it really is timely. And interesting enough, this is a universal issue.
Well, one, just the busyness of people, period. But when we first started this, we were coming into the beginning rhythm of when our schedules change and things change. And so for me, I like to capitalize on natural rhythms of change to also bring my schedule and my thoughts and my calendar back before God and give him the opportunity to really realign that. And so from my standpoint, us starting at the beginning of the summer was a great timing to do that. But then I also just think in the overall scheme of everything going on in the world, we all need to be constantly surrendering our calendar and our thoughts and spending time. I know we talk about all the time, you and Linda go away specifically periodically to look at your list, not even so much of the calendar, but of the questions you have, what's cluttering your thoughts and your minds and what do you need answers on, and being intentional in that and how freeing that is. And I think in the world we live in right now, I guess they could have said that hundreds and thousands of years ago too, but in the world we live in right now, in the conversations you and I have with people, this is something that is pressing on everyone. We see busyness of the mind and of the calendar probably as one of the primary distractions to your walk with God, honestly.
Yeah. And as we, God defines the kingdom as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom is a spiritual place that's also present while we're in the kingdom of the world, which is a natural place. And he said, you can live in the kingdom all the time, and it's righteousness, peace, and joy. So that's our definition of, are we at peace? Are we joyful? Are we excited to be walking with God? By the way, knowing and experiencing a very troubled place. We live in a troubled world that we're part of that kingdom as well, that's under the control of Satan, kill, steal, and destroy. And what we've been addressing are two big factors of this that distract us. One, and you said the word busyness, is that we get so overwhelmed with things to do that we get weary. And when you're tired, and there's two elements, particularly, and this actually then moves into the mental piece of it. But if you're tired, first of all, it's hard to keep your energy up because of it, and you're not relaxed. And then two, when you have too many things to do, you always feel burdened by that. I didn't get done today what I was supposed to get done, or I'm late to meetings, or I'm trying to get somewhere and I can't, or I've got too many things scheduled, or something comes up that I wasn't expecting, and I got to deal with this while I'm dealing with all this other stuff, and I have no space to deal with it. So there's a frustration about that.
And our tendency in that moment is also to stay in self. When we see all of those things that need to be done, or we feel the pressure of all of those, we tend to, as humans, go back to self and try to go accomplish all of that first before we go and surrender to God, right?
Yeah, yeah, and which then just makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So our calendar, because we're so lousy at it, and this is why we want to keep reinforcing, is that God wants you to have margin, wants you to have relaxed pace, and it means a change in what we do, mm-hmm. and the things we're called to do, and how he said, I can arrange it for you, and I want to, if you have a heart to go with me, and don't try to do this yourself, because you'll consistently be too busy thinking that this is a good thing, but it really isn't. And then secondly, is that our thought life is burdened by the troubles of life, of mm-hmm. things that happen to us, and they're happening all the time. And what I see is that they're getting more intense and they're getting more frequent. Of everything around us, partly because I think that's just the nature of the world per se, but the self-centeredness mm-hmm. has increased so that everything is difficult and the operation behind it is difficult so that it's a life of frustration. So that, you know, if you got it, let's say you have a technical problem.
Right.
And you are trying to call what you would call the customer service line.
Well, they still have those?
Well, they don't.
And by real people?
They don't really have them. Is that you know, you'd like to, but it gives you a series of things you can do electronically.
Mm-hmm.
But you really can't get somebody to take care of your issue. And they make it so difficult. Lynn and I were just talking about this. It makes it so difficult that really what they want you to do is just give up.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I guess I'll just eat this. I'll just lose it. And not only what happens, and I've noticed this even lately myself, is that it's the time and energy
mm-hmm.
that it takes to try to work through it all. And it's super frustrating.
Right.
And it's getting more and more and more. I mean, so the heaviness of the trouble and the adversity and the pressures and the fears and the uncertainty of things is getting to us. And so we've talked about, one, we can trust God because he will resolve them all.
Right.
And he said, you know, build a trust in that. That if you have a heart to go, I'll show you what to do about your calendar, one. And then two is the issues of life, what we call the clutter things.
Mm-hmm.
I will resolve those for you as you process those with me. And we've talked about that. But he said the way to approach it is that we're seeking release from the burden of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gives us truth about this. And we started last time with Psalm 143, 8 to 12. It was just a prayer that we said, this is the way to approach it, and actually on a daily basis. So let's just revisit that, and then we'll continue. Psalm 143, 8 to 12.
Sure. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant.
Yeah. So he says, as you approach every day, is learn to, as you're casting your burden upon him, is cause me to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. And the word loving kindness there is, let me hear that you're going to deliver to me the covenant about my problem.
Right.
You'll resolve it. Cause me to know the way I should walk. So how do I want to proceed to receive this? Make sure that I'm protected from the enemy being able to pull me away or continue to cause me difficulty when you're resolving it. Teach me to do your will so that I can follow you and be taught without worry about when I don't quite get it or I fail mm-hmm. at it. Yeah, I'll just keep teaching you. You know, keep right. keep teaching me to do it. So it's basically an attitude of, and you said it, is instead of me figuring this out,
right?
Let's start with, okay, I'm going to go to God. And now it does require, think about the prayer here, cause me to hear your voice.
Right.
Well, you got to be able to hear his voice.
Yeah,
which, by the way, we did a little mini series on that. If that's an issue for you, you know, you may want to go back and visit that or take the course about hearing his voice, because that's critical. If he's going to resolve my issues, I got to hear what he has to say.
Right.
Cause me to know the way I should walk. I have clarity about the steps that you're guiding me to, and I have to have a heart to go and then take those steps. And I think the key to that is don't get ahead of him. Is don't try to take more steps than you're supposed to. It's usually around what's the next step.
Right.
Instead of, well, I need to do this, this, and this, or I'm worried about the bridge that I'm going to cross, you know, a half a mile ahead. He says, well, actually, you may never get to that bridge. So don't worry about that yet. You know, if you are, I'll tell you what to do with it. But why don't you just take the next step? So teach me how to do that. And then go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the things I love looking at this passage too, is the way he stands on the identity of who God is and who he is, because there's this posture of surrender and yielding just in the Psalm. If you look in verse 10, for you are my God, your spirit is good. You know, he is surrendering to him and declaring God is good. You are my God. This is who I know you to be. And then in verse 12, he wraps it all up with, for I am your servant. So when he's writing this and asking for this, he's not doing it from this waffling place of maybe God is good and, you know, I'm the boss, but I'll surrender to you for this moment. He is coming at it with a right identity, a foundation of a solid identity based in who God is and who God says he is. And I love that, because I think the posture of the heart is important as we step into this as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's beautiful. And he actually then tells us a little bit about that goodness. So go to Romans 8 and actually go ahead and read verses 26 all the way through to 32. Romans 8, 26 through 32.
Sure. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. On to 36.
So down to 32.
Okay, to 32. Okay. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Yeah. So this is where scripture and abiding in scripture and meditating on scripture. And I would say that most believers that have been, you know, going to church and seeing a variety of things, they know this verse. All things work together for good. But it's not about intellectual knowledge. It's about, do you believe this?
Right.
And are you experiencing it? See, that's where God wants to take us, so that we can live a life of joy and peace in the middle of all these difficulties, because our mind can be refreshed out of the very life of God. And so he says, first of all, the Holy Spirit's role is to intercede. Intercession, it means he's going to God, the Father, and it says according to God's will, the Father's will. Okay, so I'm interceding according to Father's will. Okay, so first of all, it says what? God has a will.
Yes.
And see, it's and think about, the Holy Spirit is God. So does the Holy Spirit know the scripture?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's not saying, you know, may they intellectually know Scripture.
Mm.
Your will is very specific to this person, to this situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to apply the truth of what we know, what we've spoken of the word, which, by the way, it's critical. But Father, you know, for Rich or for Kathy, what is your will right now about? And they're concerned because they prayed, let me hear your loving kindness, your voice today,
mm-hmm.
and cause me the way that, I'm supposed to walk, because I got issues.
Right.
And
right.
And that's why we, you know, and we would call it, everybody would call it your prayer list.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say to somebody, what do you want me to pray for?
Right.
They would tell me.
Yep.
And it's not a generic, you know, I just pray that I hope I have a nice life. Well, no, I got real
things going on.
I got things, and that's why he uses the word here. I've got things going on, and I'm praying for that. Okay, and the Holy Spirit is saying they have issues going on. Father, what's your will? And since I'm resident within them, my role is to speak to them,
mm-hmm.
because they've come to me with a prayer, cause me to hear right. what you have to say. My role is to speak and to mm-hmm. guide them and to show them the way that to go. And you know that the Father, through the Holy Spirit, who's resident within us, that's his job.
Right, right.
And that's what he wants to do. So he said, that's what I'm up to. And then he makes a statement. All things work together for good mm-hmm. for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the word love there is has an affection to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually spoke it when David finished his prayer, and I'm your servant.
Right.
And the word there is bondservant. I don't have any rights. I'm not trying to have any rights because I know mm-hmm. you're good. I'm going to follow you and just show me the way, and I'm your servant. So he says, all things work together for good, but there is that the opportunity to be able to follow and go into the steps when he's going to make all things work for good. And the word there is mm-hmm. spectacular. It's going to be grand. Okay, now, and he uses these words purposely. Things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if he uses the word things, it doesn't say, I'll make it so you spiritually, you know, live at a different level and you accept what's going on. It doesn't say that.
Right.
It said the very stuff of life that mm-hmm. that you're burdened by, that you're struggling with, I will make it work for good. And how many of those things?
In all things.
All things.
All things.
it'll make all things work together for good. The reason he says that is that, one, there's no limitation here, and it's not some things, once in a while things, it's all things. And that means what? All the things that I'm facing,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to make it work together for good. I'm going to provide you the covenant. I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. You can trust it. And there's no, let's say, condition to that other than to follow. And let me explain mm-hmm. that. And that is that, when you look at adversity and you look at trouble and you look at things that bother you,
right?
A lot of it is around, I think I can see how I contributed to this problem.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't follow God. I didn't respond. I didn't process well, and I made a bunch of mistakes. So it's my fault. Or I just happened to be in a situation in my company or my church or my friends or my family, we're really dysfunctional and it's really a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, well, none of that matters to me. Even if you caused it, what can he do? Make all
he
things.
He can work. Restore it. Yeah.
I can restore. See, I can make it all work. And what, and this is why the issue of releasing the burden, even when you feel guilty about this, is I can make this work. And it's not about your worrying about what happened or why it happened or what you contributed to it happening. It's rather, I need you going forward without burden, so I can bring resolution to it, and you can have joy. You can have joy in the middle of it. And then he makes a statement. There's one thing you need to really appreciate. He says, "If I'm for you, what does he say?
Who can be against you?
Who can be against you?" Now, interesting enough, he's basically saying nobody except there is a person that can be against you. Who is it?
You cannot cooperate with this, right?
Yeah. Okay. Now he says, "I'm for you." Now think about this. I'm for you. I have resolution. I will make it work together for good. Mm-hmm. Whatever you got going, whatever, how serious it is, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you caused it. I can make it work together for good. Now he said, the key is you got to love me. And love is an affection to have a heart to follow the instruction to cause me the way to work. You see how this all ties together?
Yes, absolutely.
It's such a beautiful thing of being able to know that, you know what, this is going to work out. Mm-hmm. And that's why he says all things, because we have a tendency, particularly as believers and particularly people to explain it, is that, well, you're kind of unlucky. Or, God's will is for you to not have this work. And you're, and what he wants you to do is just accept it.
Right.
And God says, no, how about if I work all things together for good? I'll make it work. I'll resolve it. And if you knew that, trusted it, first of all, are you going to have them?
Yes. Yeah, you're going to have issues. Absolutely. Yeah.
And let's say I get some resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the end of the things I'm going to face?
Nope.
No.
There's new ones all the time, sadly.
And what Linda and I, we call it our clutter list. And usually there's anywhere from 10 to 20 things, specific things, that are on that clutter list. And they do get resolved. But as they get resolved, the new ones come up. Life is very dynamic. All kinds of stuff happen. I'll give you an example that you know about, is that we were headed, we talked about it. I think we were headed for our trip. We've made statements that you've heard on the broadcast over July that we were going to be at the Biltmore.
Right, celebrating your birthday,
anniversary, family
all
reunion.
That stuff. Yeah.
And we're all ready to go. And and this is how God, works things for good. But Linda... had gone to the hairdresser, and she started to notice that she has lines appearing in her left eye. And for some reason, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, she didn't ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And she also didn't say, okay, I'm going to call a doctor and see if I can go see him. Or, hey, she usually would have called me and said, I think I need to go to the doctor. Could you call and get me an appointment?
Right.
Okay. Well, if I would have done that, or she would have done that, the doctor, not really knowing anything about it, would have said, yeah, I can see you in about 5 or 6 days or maybe a week or two and get you in. And that's what would happen. Well, she was led by the Holy Spirit to just go. And she just went to the doctor. She just walked in.
Oh, good for her. Yeah.
She just walks in and says, I got a problem with my eye. I'd like to see the eye doctor. And first of all, they said, okay, he's here. Let me talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Goes and talks to him. And by the way, this is through a neighbor who is involved here, so he knows us. And okay, all right, I'll get you in. Hold on here, and I'll squeeze you in.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets in, he does his exam, and he says, hey, honey, you got and you need to go to a surgeon, like right now, and let him see you and see what he says about it. And he's, you know, here in Castle Rock, and he's at a different location. Just go over there, and I'll make a phone call to at least see if he can get you in. So she gets in the car, goes over. He happens to be there. Now, by the way, he's only there 2 days a week.
Oh, I love that.
And he happens to be there today. And, okay, I'll see you. I'll get you in. And she sees him, and he says, okay, you got a major problem. You got to have surgery. And she says, wait a second. let me get my husband on the phone. And let's you talk to him, you know. And so, she's got a detached retina, and she needs to, you know, get a surgery immediately. And I said, we're going to be gone. you know, we're going on a trip. He said, no, you're not. He said, you can't go. I said, well, so you're saying I can't fly anywhere? No, you can't go. I said, well, couldn't I drive? No. She has to have surgery Monday. I don't do surgeries on Monday, but I'm going to come in at 6 a.m. and do her surgery.
Right.
And you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And you're going to be home, and she's going to have to, you know, go through this. Like, okay. You know, and I was talking
very specific steps for recovery. She has to be following. Yeah. And yeah.
And we were talking about the issue of surrender, that making the decision to say yes to that condition, like you can't go. That wasn't a difficult decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't, we weren't happy about it.
Right.
And we're sad about it. And now we have a question of the heart of, and our biggest question, and we'll actually have to relate this as time goes through, but our biggest question was, well, why now at this timing,
mm-hmm.
when if it would have been a month ago, it'd already be done.
Right.
If it'd be three or four weeks from now, and that's when it became a problem, we'd be home, and we would have gone to this trip, but it happened right before we're going on this trip.
Right.
And the sad, and Linda's sad about it. And where our question is, how come? Why did this happen now? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to surrender to that.
Right.
Because it's a hard thing. And
there's a disappointment and a grieving and all of that, even in things. Yes.
Yeah. And so when we're talking about cause us to know which way to walk, is see, that's now part of our clutter list. See?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, well, we see she's going to be healed. That's cool.
Right.
But we have another issue.
And you see his intervention.
Yeah.
But there's still heart things to be dealt with.
Now we know something. All things are going to work out for good.
Mm-hmm.
He's for us, not against us. We can trust it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't yet know what this all means and why and how come. And there is a wound in our soul about this.
Right.
That now is part of our clutter that we're pursuing, and we're going through the same process.
Right.
Cause us to know your loving kindness. Hear your voice. What do you have to say about this? Cause us to know the way to walk.
Can I highlight how pretty what you just said is in terms of there? You said there is now a wound in our soul that is now on our clutter list.
Yeah.
So many times we hit wounds in our souls from things like this that have happened that we blow right past.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when it is left untended, it festers, it grows, it gets infected, it infects more of our life than we realize. When we then pop it over to our clutter list and decide we're going to immediately, as the wound happens, get wound care, take it to God, and allow him to speak into that and to bring healing, and stay in the process until he does, then it's like pulling a weed instead of digging out a whole garden of stuff, right?
Yeah. And there is a resolution. See, that's where all things apply, that, well, it's legitimate to have the desire a resolution to that.
Absolutely.
And all we have to do is pursue it with a knowledge that we are going to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And even that will turn out for good. And we now can still release the burden of it,
mm-hmm.
while we're processing it.
Right.
And that's what,
right.
that's what we're trying to say. So, you know, we're ending on this session today. But Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this beautiful truth. The Holy Spirit is interceding to communicate and to speak what you have to say, and that all things work together for good, and you're for us, and who can be against us? And so we can trust it. We can release this clutter, this burden, this thing that we have, because it's going to work out. And we pray that we'll understand it, that we'll process it. And if we believe that and experience it, we can cast these heaviness on you and still live in the freedom that you want us to live in. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich, for this discussion. So timely and so good. If you have questions about what we've talked about today on the broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. Or if you have questions about other things in your life that you just would like us to bring up as a topic, send them in. We are happy to go there. So thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.